Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Man Ferdini's our Mr. Fix-It. You hear him all the time on WGN. He's got his own show on Saturdays. Hi, Lou. How are you?
Hi, John.
You good?
I'm good. I'm great.
Where are you? Are you in the United States?
I am in the United States. I'm actually just pulling up to Villa Park, East Hartford, Villa Park. It's been a busy weekend for those of us in the hardware store business.
I should have thought of you because I do often in your business, and what a great hardware store you have there. And
Thank you. You're right.
As much as all of us are like, oh, crap, you guys were high-fiving, weren't you?
So you got Thanksgiving, you got Black Friday, and then you got Ice Monday.
Man.
You know, exactly. You know, it is the one thing that I have learned in all the years that we've been in these businesses is how weather-dependent these hardware stores really are. You know, it's... people are like, oh my gosh, this snow is terrible, and it's really, really good for business. And when you think about Cyber Monday and how brick and mortar stores are, you know, really trying to compete against all that, this is sort of a saving grace for us. So bring on the snow and ice.
You got any snow throwers left?
We do. It's early. This is what's nice about the timing of all this from a retail perspective is the fact that, you know, you kind of ramp up for all this. And so what you hope for is these snow events to happen early, because then people that are like, hey, I need a snow thrower, I need a new shovel, and, you know, it's only November, so I should probably invest. The problem is when these things come in late February and maybe you're left with a few snow throwers, they
right.
say, I'll just wait till next year.
You know, I was... I asked you because I had a couple of specific questions as I was attacking the snow today, and I thought, oh, man, I need Lou's opinion or information on this. For one thing, isn't it amazing to you how long it took the world to figure out that we had snow shovels wrong? They have the kind now that seem to favor your back a little more and make it easier than just, you know, stick with blade. Now they're kind of curved and all of that. Any thoughts for us on snow shovels, Lou?
Well, I mean, this is an example. This kind of snow is so heavy and so wet. I mean, yesterday, Steve was just mentioning his daughter heading out on a flight. My daughter got on probably the last flight to Los Angeles last night that actually went. And as I was taking her to the airport and it was pouring rain, I was watching the temperature go down in my car. And I thought, man, if this snow comes, it is just going to be wet and heavy. And so it really is important for people not to over compensate when it comes to shovels. I think a lot of times when people go to the store, they're like, yeah, I'm going to get this shovel. Look at how big this thing is. It's great. Well, it's great when it's a lightweight snow and you can kind of push it along. But unless you have a rear end the size of mine, there's not many people that can push those big shovels. And this is where people get hurt and have health issues, because it is so heavy and it is so wet that it's important to get a good size one and to take your time. Those ergonomic ones that you talk about, you know, something with a metal handle, perhaps an aluminum blade, are preferred for this kind of snow as opposed to the all plastic.
For those who don't know, how big is your rear end?
It's pretty big. It's about the size of a small Buick.
Mm-hmm. It's going to take a minute.
Can I ask? Let's go to Steve Bertrand in the newsroom.
Lou, I had to drive through my yard this morning because I had such a big branch down in my driveway to get out.
Oh, wow.
And then we've got a huge one in the back. And so it's all these bushes, right, are bent over. Are we supposed to shake the snow off, or are we supposed to leave it?
Yeah, no, as quickly as possible. Evergreens in particular, boxwoods do not like this kind of heavy snow. And if you leave it on there, it'll kill the plant. And so in particular, because the temperature, I'm looking in my car right now, it says it's 28 degrees. I think it's going to drop down tonight as well. So really, if you can get out there and gently take that off, I absolutely would do that, because you will have some die-off if you don't.
Does spraying PAM on the blades of your snow thrower really help?
It helps the people sell PAM.
That's it, huh? I mean, because the idea is that when you have this thick, heavy snow, that keeps it from coagulating on your
here's
blade.
Here's the thing. It's a lubricant, right? The minute you spray it, initially you're going to be like, oh my gosh, that's amazing. But think about when you use Pam in cooking, and then after you wash your, you wash the pan, yeah. It comes completely off. It'll come off right away. This is too heavy, and this is actually, John. When people are thinking about snow throwers, they always have the: do I want a single stage or do I want a two stage? And the two stage ones, are the bigger units. This kind of snow is the perfect example of why you would buy a two stage, even though they're not as maneuverable. The fact of the matter is, though, we don't get this kind of snow, predominantly in this area. We get lighter snow that isn't this heavy. This is a complete anomaly, but it's the type of thing where a lot of broken shovels, a lot of snow throwers that are overexerted and may not be able to throw the snow because it's too heavy. And so if you're in the market to buy one that you want to get the best of both worlds, then these two stages are probably a better bet.
Yeah, well, I'm just thinking of Brenda pushing that thing around, and maybe the big ones are kind of heavy for her.
Yeah, you're a funny guy. You're really funny. Now, you mentioned something about the ice melt, and this is something that's really important. Rock salt, of course, is the cheapest thing you'll buy, but it's the most harmful for vegetation and for your driveway, your sidewalk, even a wood deck. And so when you go to, the home center or the hardware store to buy the ice melt, look for blends that are calcium chloride, magnesium chloride, and don't overdo it. I mean, the mistake that I see people do is they just go crazy with this. And if you have a big pile, like you drop it, oh, it'll go away. That high concentration of a pile of it will be the thing that will damage it, even with the better ice melts. And so you want to make sure that you are using just a light coating. And then as things dry out down the line, if you see that, there's no longer any ice or snow, take a broom and broom it off, as temperatures warm up a little bit. Yeah. Don't let that sit there because that will cause damage.
All right, I just wrote the word rock salt, put a slash through it because I got a new fancy wood deck out there for my friends at the Bill
Cobblestone
40, Cobblestone. And then the folks from Deck Tech came out and put a nice layer of paint on that or finish. I don't know what the hell they did, but it looks swell, and I don't want to get it all messed up. So no to the rock salt.
Right.
You said calcium chloride or magnesium chloride. Is there a brand that you like or a kind per se, or just one of those blends is good?
Most of it, you'll see that when you buy it, one of the brands you may see a lot of is Quick Joe, but then even, not to sit here, obviously my wife and I own Ace Hardware, the Ace brand. It's a commodity item, so you'll just look at, they'll put, the same stuff in an Ace bag, and what you're looking for is a blend. Now, with those blends, a lot of time there is a little bit of rock salt in there. That's okay because it's not predominantly rock salt, and it's all about temperature, right? And just use it sparingly. Don't go crazy with the stuff.
Speaking of that, Jim, you had a question for Lou. What was it, Jim? You're on WGN.
Hi, I have wooden stairs on my deck. What can I throw on there so it won't eat up the wood?
So I mentioned the calcium chloride and the magnesium chloride, which is a better product for that. There's also, if we can get ahead of these storms, there's liquid calcium chloride, which I really like. It wouldn't have been so effective with this snow because it was wet first. But if we know there's a snow event, and it seems like we do nowadays, that a couple days before it's going to come, you put this in a pump sprayer and you pre-treat. John, this would be great for your wood deck too.
Yeah.
You literally walk around with a pump sprayer and you spray a little bit on there, and then the snow won't stick to it. And then when you go to shovel it, it's so much easier to shovel because there's this thin little liquid layer over the top of it, and it's less harmful. And even for people who have pets, if you send one of the dogs out on the deck, you still have to wipe their pads, but the granules don't get in between their pads, so it's easier to clean up their feet.
What we did with our wood deck was we put Pam on it. We just went out with spray cans and did the entire deck with Pam. And then it got wet and it washed off, and I thought, well, that was a waste of Brenda's time. By the way, here's a question for Lou. This texter from 630 says, ask Lou if he's taking the question for Lou if he's taking them. Should you remove the downspout extenders from the house and let the water fall by the foundation or leave the extenders on? I guess they're worried they're going to get all clogged up.
Yeah, I mean, the issue there is with this heavy snow, if it's clogged up, it's just going to sit there. What I would do is, I'm never a fan of letting the water just go right next to the foundation. I would take a shovel and go dig out that area where the extender is so the water has somewhere to go.
Right.
I mean, the nice thing is we're not in a deep freeze right now, but as the temperatures drop overnight and that ice is up, that's problematic. And actually, in that little area too, maybe a little bit of the ice melt product over there would be a good idea.
What do you
well.
Think of throwing handfuls of that stuff up onto the roof and then letting it melt down into the irrigation system on your roof? You know what I mean?
You have a couple of options. There are these things called ice melt pucks that look like hockey pucks.
Right.
A little bit easier to throw because they're solid, and you kind of do your best Dr. J. There's also a product called a hot sock. You actually have to get up on a ladder to do that. Another trick is if you take pantyhose, like knee-high pantyhose, you can fill that with ice melt and place that up on the roof as well.
By the way, Hot Sock was my porn name. John, last night I heard that people should carry a spare gallon of gas in their car as part of their emergency kit. Could you have Lou confirm that this is not a good idea?
Absolutely not. There should be no fuel unless what's in your fuel tank. What's important, obviously, is that your fuel tank is full under circumstances like this, because, you know, the biggest issue now with many parts of, I drove out to Palatine, and the amount of snow that was out west here was really something else, and the amount of power outages. And so the thing is that at gas stations, they're not operating because they don't have electricity.
But
those pumps need...
Having an empty container that can hold gas is good. A cleaned out one, correct? Just not filled with fuel.
Well, because
if you stranded, you need to go.
You need to walk to the gas station. I mean, at some point, any of us that have gone to the gas station and gotten a gallon of gas for our lawnmower have traveled with that in the back of our car, right, Lou?
Right, but not as a matter of fact. And my only concern. Remember. Under proper circumstances, I could light a match and drop it into an open container of gas. It's the fumes that ignite it, not the liquid. I mean, it sounds crazy, but if you had a gas can that you had once used gas in and then sealed it and put it in the back of the car, first of all, you'd smell it. Second of all, it's full of fumes, and that is just a recipe for disaster. If you run out of gas, you're going to go to the gas station. Hopefully you have $10, and you're going to pay for a really expensive one-gallon can, which we have for sale at the Ace. And then you're going to walk back to your car and fill it up and then leave it in your garage. Do not travel with a fuel thing in the back.
John,
unless you're in like some army vehicle with a 5-gallon jerry can that's on the back of the thing.
Right. 847, John, what is your favorite scene from Love Actually? Please share. Okay, so it's when Emma Thompson finds out that her husband was cheating on her. And
no, that's not your favorite one.
Well, I mean, I think that's such a great, touching scene. Oh. I just think that is so well done. I'm a big fan
of hers. What about Liam Neeson when he's talking to his son about the girl and he's kind of like giving him the advice about you got to go for it? And I know the whole ridiculous storyline that you're talking about too, that I can't believe is in that. That's what ruins that movie.
The guy goes to Wisconsin and the women love him.
That's a fun scene. That's a fun storyline. I love that one. But by the way, as I was watching it, that movie is dating itself really fast. For instance, Liam Neeson's advice to his son, going, kiss her, just tell her you love her. It's a little forward. I mean, there are moments in that movie where I thought, wow, have we moved past this already? And I'm not a scorekeeper like that, but there are times where I know when that movie came out, those felt funny or charming. You know,
wait, we're not supposed to do that anymore?
There's a lot of stuff in there. I thought, that's just not even funny, you guys. But but her acting in that, I would say my favorite scene in the movie is when he walks into the restaurant and she only speaks Portuguese and they're talking back and forth and you realize that he's learned Portuguese and she's learned English. You know the scene I'm talking about at the restaurant? I love
Colin
that.
Colin Firth.
I love that scene. That's pays your money and go see that. That's worth that scene a lot.
What about the scene where the guy has the cue cards?
That's a good one.
Wait, the guy has the what?
The cue cards.
Yeah, okay.
I never liked that scene. It takes too long. It's too much work.
And that's a storyline that's starting to grate on me because I'm like, dude, I don't think you're a well person. You've been stalking this girl all this time and have never had the ability to tell her how you feel about her?
To grab her and kiss her?
Just grab her and kiss her.
Come on, Billy Bob Thornton.
Well, remember that scene where they're using the Pam and they run it up, rub it all over their bodies? Remember
which one
do
you
scene?
Like? Shut up, Lou. Which one do you like, Steve?
The Hugh Grant and Billy Bob Thornton scene, or where he tells off the president?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Yes. That's that occurs pretty early in the movie, too, by the way. Hugh Grant gets his sort of comeuppance and tells Billy Bob Thornton, who I think at the time was supposed to be a Bill Clinton-like president. But
right. What about the scene where he comes and he's looking for Natalie and he's knocking on the door and the little kid says, are you going to sing Christmas carols? Oh, no, I'm not.
And then they
start singing Good King Wenceslas. And the bodyguard, the guy in the background, starts chiming in. That's a good scene.
And then the little girls just dance their full heads off. And it's just absolutely charming.
What about the gift wrapping for the mistress?
Oh, my God.
My heart is pounding every time.
I know.
I'm like,
hurry.
Would you like some tinsel?
just a flash.
Not yet.
All right.
Oh, jeez.
Thank you, Lou Manfredini. We love you. We'll listen to you on Saturday.
I'm so glad I could help you with the winter advice.
Yeah. Well, if I want to buy some of these products, where do I go? Where's your store, Lou?
We have one in Villa Park at 46 South Villa Avenue and one in Edgebrook in Chicago at 5423 West Devon.
Go to any store you want. Go to the one nearest you. But if you go to those ones, I will tell you this. You will get amazing customer service and good Ace products.
I bought a mower this year. I was using it on Saturday.
No kidding, really.
Oh, wow.
To soak up all my leaves before the snow came, yeah.
Boy, you came just in time.
Good call.
We'll listen for you on Saturday, bud.
Thanks, guys.
My best to Mary Beth and your thousands of children. That's our Mr. Fix-It, Lou Manfredini.